20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Packers game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you joining me for Packers game day. We've got a fun game to discuss today. Packers-Vikings. Feeling good about this one. My mind thinks it's a Packers win. My gut tells me it's a Packers win. We just need to see a really fun, exciting Packers win, especially in the hallowed grounds of Lambeau Field. We'll break it all down for you today. Before we get there, I do want to mention that I am recording this on Friday night. I don't know what transactions are taking place for Green Bay on Saturday, if there's any injury updates, signings, releases, elevations from the practice squad. So wish I had that information for you. Luckily, you guys probably know it by now already anyway, but I do want to be transparent. I am recording this Friday night. Have a full Saturday jam-packed, so not going to be able to record it late Saturday like I usually do. So you're on your own on that one, but I did just want to let you guys know that ahead of time. Also wanted to give a quick shout out to Jeremy Warren for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate you, Jeremy. If you haven't signed up yet, do so right now. Support the channel. We appreciate that a ton. Of course, the big news from Friday, Jaden Reed started his 21-day practice window. He's not playing this week. We know that he is listed as out. I don't think he's going to play against Detroit on Thursday. There's really no practice between now and Thursday, so I don't think they're going to have him do one basically kind of, you know, small practice on Friday, and then no practice Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then play against Detroit. It just doesn't seem to make much sense. The following game against Chicago would seem to be the very likely return date if everything goes according to plan for Jaden Reed, but just great to see him back out at practice. Let's jump right into our Habish-Habish-Rotier injury report for this game. We'll start with Green Bay out for the Packers, Nate Hobbs and Jaden Reed, as we discussed. Really no sign of Nate Hobbs returning, did not practice limited or anything like that. So we're going to have to kind of keep an eye on that next week. I know maybe some of you are thinking, hey, I'm happy with Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon. I'm kind of fine right now. You still want him as depth. I also agree. I don't need to see him come in and take any of Javon Bullard, Keyshawn Nixon, or Carrington Valentine snaps right now. I would like him to be the next guy up. So hopefully they can get him back for maybe that game against Detroit, but maybe also more likely that game against Chicago. The big one is Quay Walker. He is doubtful for this game. And that's a big loss. He's the guy that calls the defense. He's a team captain. And you kind of like him organizing everything. Also, there is, to me, a step down from Quay Walker to Isaiah McDuffie. I'm probably a little bit higher on Isaiah McDuffie than most. I think he's had a pretty good season overall. I think he was a little bit better towards the beginning and middle of the season. I think the last couple games, just a little bit of, just a couple things I would have maybe liked to have seen different. But he's playing good football. I really, truly believe that. But I do think you kind of want McDuffie in that 10 to 15 snap range, not in the 60 to 70 snap range, which is probably what he's going to have to play in this game. Meanwhile, Tyron Hopper would take over that base defense role, the role that McDuffie usually plays, getting those 10 to 15 snaps. He'll likely take those over again with McDuffie moving into a full-time role in both base and nickel defenses for Green Bay in this one. Questionable, Dontavian Wicks and Savion Williams at wide receiver. Savion did not practice. Wicks did. I would assume Wicks is good to go. Savion Williams, I'm not sure. Then Matthew Golden, the other one, the shoulder injury, I hope he plays, but he might be limited to a certain snap count as well with that shoulder injury. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. LVN is questionable, but Matt LaFleur did say he was trending towards playing, so hopefully a good sign that LVN will in fact return this week. Carl Brooks did practice on Friday, but he is also listed as questionable. He was limited. I think that one's probably a little bit of a coin flip. And then the good news is Josh Jacobs practiced. Even though, you know, if it was limited for the second consecutive day, I don't think they're going to be able to hold Josh Jacobs out of this game. I expect him to play, but again, the big question here is how much is he limited? Does he look like himself? That's going to be the big question as we get into Sunday. As far as the Vikings go, Jonathan Greenard and Ryan Kelly, both questionable for this game. Ryan Kelly was their starting center, by the way, did practice in full all week. He would be a big return for the Vikings at center and really solidify their offensive line. It looks like he's going to play in this one. Jonathan Greenard was limited the last couple of days, questionable, but again, with him practicing the last 2 days, I would expect him to play as well, which means that Minnesota should have its full complement of weapons, both on offense and on defense. Now, As I mentioned, it's tougher to, you know, predict the inactives because I don't know who the call-ups were on Saturday as I'm recording this. So again, you're kind of on your own. I usually like predicting who's probably going to be inactive for this one. Donovan Jennings, probably an easy one, right? We know Nate Hobbs is going to be inactive for this one. It just depends. Are there no call-ups, in which case you only have to deactivate three? One of them would be the kicker and then a couple other ones. They could make a move. It's not an impossibility. And again, you guys would know this already as you're listening to it. Haversick could get cut on Saturday. McManus is a full go. If they need to bring somebody up, they could bring somebody up and put him on the 53. Really don't need to, but they do have some options there. We'll see what they ultimately do. But tougher for me in this one to predict the inactives with not knowing what the transactions were on Saturday. Keep an eye on those transactions, see what happened on Saturday. And then also the full inactives will come out 90 minutes before kickoff, 10:30 a.m. Central Time. All right, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza players to watch in this game. Yes, I'm going players to watch in this game. I have two of them. One on offense, one on defense. Let's start on defense. I talked about him just a minute ago. I think this is a really big game for Isaiah McDuffie. He's got the instincts. He has the IQ. He knows what he's doing. He's quicker than people give him credit for. He's a pretty fit. Yeah, he's not the most physical player, but he doesn't really have issues getting people to the ground. He's a, you know, good form tackler. This is one of those games where tackling is going to be big. You don't want to allow yards after contact, either from the running backs or from the receivers, tight ends, etc. And the Minnesota Vikings are going to be looking for any little deficiency that they can get. If McDuffie isn't quite as quick as Quay would be, or is not quite as physical as Quay would be, and that opens up a small crease, we know Aaron Jones well enough. He's going to take advantage of that. Isaiah McDuffie needs to have a big game in this one. Doesn't have to be the playmaker, doesn't have to be somebody who's getting two picks or four, you know, like I'm being facetious, but like he doesn't have to be the big time sack, interception, fumble, force, fumble recovery guy, right? Just do his 111th, make sure that he's taking away the angles from the Vikings, getting players to the ground and doing his job. And I think he can do that. I think that's all you're asking for in this game, but I think he needs to have a big game and perform at the upper echelon of what he's capable of, not just having a ho-hum average day or even below average day. This is a big opportunity for him. He's going to get, like I said, pretty much every snap on defense. He's got to answer the bell, next guy up mentality, and play a really sound game in this one. On offense, I've been a little bit critical of this player as of late. I think they need to have a bounce back game. I think they will have a bounce back game. Romeo Doubs. Romeo had three drops last week. I need to see Romeo put together a full big time performance. I don't think he's been as crisp in his routes. I think he can be better as a blocker. And just please catch the dang ball when it's thrown your way. Christian Watson has come back and he's played extremely good football. You're going to get Jaden Reed back hopefully here in a couple weeks. Matthew Golden's beat up right now though. You don't have Jaden Reed in this game. Savion Williams is beat up. Who knows if Malik Heath is going to be active in that entire situation. This, you know, you have no Tucker Kraft. Josh Jacobs is banged up. Your tag team duo in this one that you need to depend on offense are Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Like I said, Watson's playing really good football. Dobbs seems to be in a little bit of a slump right now. He needs to break out of it. Like I said, I think he will. This needs to be a very big Romeo Doubs game. So my players to watch in this one, Isaiah McDuffie on defense and Romeo Doubs on offense. All right, here's what I'm watching for in this game, per usual, our 12 things to watch. Number one, let's just get it out of the way. Eliminate the mistakes. You had about a four games worth of mistakes game against the Giants. You're due for a couple clean ones. You're at the friendly confines of Lambeau Field. You're playing a very familiar opponent. You're well-versed in what Kevin O'Connell likes to do on offense. You're well-versed with what this Minnesota Vikings defense and Brian Flores likes to do. You face this team a million and a half times. You are knowing what to expect. You have a game plan in place. Go out and execute and don't stumble on your own feet along the way. Green Bay has made a living so far off of shooting themselves in the foot and having self-inflicted mistakes. I need to see them play, simply put, a better brand of football. If Green Bay has the same level of mistakes against the Giants or anything close to it, I don't care if their quarterback can't throw passes right now, they're going to find a way to beat Green Bay. And I think they're going to play a cleaner brand, meaning the Packers of football in this game. I really do. I can't have another one like that, right? I can't have another one littered with that many mistakes, right? Right, please? I do think Green Bay is going to come out focused in this game, but we have seen some noon performances for Green Bay where it feels like they're a little sleepy, don't wake up until the second half. Piss needs to be hot. All gas, no break. Scared money don't make money. I don't care what lame, cliche, stupid saying that you want. Show up, ready to play, eliminate the mistakes. I talked about this the other day. I think it was with Carmen. There are going to be mistakes that are combat-based where Vikings defenders or Vikings offensive players are forcing you into compromising situations, or you're going to be put in a situation where you can make a mistake because of something the opponent is doing. That is going to happen throughout the course of the game. What you can't have happen are the pre-snap penalties, the drops, the missed extra points, those sort of things that we've seen far too much of. Green Bay's got to clean it up. It has to get cleaned up. And for all the, you know, frustration and things like that, if it continues like that, and I don't even want to get into this because I want to speak positive things into existence for this game, but it'll be a real problem if this continues to trend in that direction where this team just can't get out of its way. So number one, we'll just leave it at that. Eliminate the mistakes, play a better brand of football. Number two, we'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never, ever, ever gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, it's time to start getting ready for Week 12 as Green Bay takes on Minnesota to try and get some momentum in the NFC North. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, and I'm going with Micah Parsons to terrorize the Minnesota offense. Elsewhere in Week 12, I'm going with big games from Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, and Drake May. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY, Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Hey friends, I've got some great news for you. I've got part of your holiday shopping already taken care of. I am absolutely obsessed with my new Ridge wallet, and it's going to make an absolutely perfect holiday gift for just about everyone in your life. It's also a perfect gift suggestion for yourself as well. I'll be honest, I was just about done with wallets. I suffer from back pain, which doesn't help. Plus, they are clunky to carry around, and I just don't even like having a wallet with me. That was until I discovered Ridge. Ridge is known for their unique, slim, and modern wallets. And Ridge has been perfecting the wallet for 12 years, and their new Ridge 2.0 is 10% lighter. Plus, they have over 50 colors and styles to choose from, including every NFL, MLB, or college team. And I just know that Packers one is already calling out to you. Now, Ridge is over 100,000 five-star reviews, and with their Ridge tracker card, you'll always know exactly where it is before panic mode kicks in. And right now, for a limited time, Ridge is having their huge holiday sale. Head to RIDGE.com to get 47% off your order. This is by far the biggest discount they've given all year. That's RIDGE.com, Ridge.com, for up to 47% off your order during their biggest sale of the year. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you. As mentioned, you're going against a quarterback right now that can't throw a football, that's not confident. I'm saying that a little over aggressively. It's been really rough for JJ McCarthy. And I mean, really, really rough for JJ McCarthy or nine or whatever alter ego he's showing up for in this game. You've got to find a way to make sure that he does not find a rhythm. You've got to keep him uncomfortable. And you cannot let him have, you know, big explosive plays. Keep it so that he is playing the exact same way that he has been playing against every other opponent so far. Outside of a couple fourth quarter comebacks, week one against Chicago, he played okay at times against Detroit. But that's the thing, like, get him rattled, get him uncomfortable, and he's going to unravel right in front of your eyes. Usually, so far, the MO is you don't even need to do a whole heck of a lot. He can't throw to his left right now, so force him to his left. And his mechanics are all over the place. He's not playing with confidence. The receivers at times are getting frustrated. You got to keep that going. This can't be get to the end of the game. It's like, wow, JJ McCarthy had, you know, 17 of 24 for 286 yards and two touchdowns, no picks. That's a recipe for disaster for Green Bay. This Vikings team, sans JJ McCarthy, still pretty damn good. Still pretty damn good. They've got all the pieces. They don't have the quarterback. So get him rattled. Take advantage of it. We talked last week about the Jameis Winston experience. Hey, he's going to throw you some picks. Take advantage of it. Green Bay didn't. They almost lost because of that. They're down by one in a game where you can't kick field goals late in that game. Thankfully, the offense overcame. Defense held them at the end. Same thing with JJ McCarthy. He is going to give you opportunities to take away the football. You have to make him do it. He is going to give you opportunities. He's just going to give you, you know, there's going to be three and outs because he's not going to be able to convert on third downs in this game. Do not let him get in a rhythm. Number three is very similar. Continue to frustrate Justin Jefferson. Make it so that he is taken out. If you get him taken out, and that's easier said than done, I get that. He is going to get more and more frustrated, more animated. We've seen this a little bit more. Jefferson's pretty good teammate. He's been great in his history with the Vikings. You can see some stuff bubbling up a little bit with Justin Jefferson right now. You want that Justin Jefferson. You don't want all of a sudden Justin Jefferson catches a 25-yarder early and he's ingrained and involved in him and McCarthy start some synergy thing out of nowhere. That's not what you want. Keep him frustrated. You want him going to the sideline and throwing his helmet down. I'm not saying he's going to do that. He's a professional, but you can see it bubbling up a little bit with Jefferson. Keep him frustrated. Do not let him get a foothold in this game. If you've got to double him, fine. Do what you need to do, but take him out of it. Make anybody else beat you and make JJ McCarthy to pretty much anybody be what beats you in this game. Can't be Justin Jefferson. Number four, it's a little bit more of a philosophical thing. Take away the easy stuff. This is an interesting sort of juxtaposition between what the Vikings want and the Packers want. The Packers are more often than not saying, hey, we're going to give you the 3 to 4 yards per carry. We're going to give you the checkdowns, the easy completions. We're not going to give you the explosives. We're not going to give you the intermediate. We're going to, you know, tackle you for a loss every once in a while. We're going to try to get off the field on third or fourth down, hold you to field goals, etc. But some of the easy stuff, go for it, have fun. We just don't think that you can, you know, put that together consistently enough to put an offense together. For the Vikings, because of JJ McCarthy and him not playing well right now, the entire offense is going to be easy button stuff. They have been brutal. And I mean brutal trying to throw down the field. It's just pick after pick, incompletions. They can't throw down the field right now. So you almost have to do the opposite of what you're comfortable doing because you know this Minnesota Vikings offense is going to be hyper-focused on trying to get some of the easy completions and running the football. They can't live in a world where they're constantly throwing downfield or throwing intermediate throws. McCarthy can't win that way. So for Jeff Hafley, at least early in this game, I'm throwing a changeup. I'm saying you're going to try the easy stuff. We're usually willing to give you the easy stuff. Guess what? Not early. Maybe you can throw a changeup in there later and start using your normal defense and things like that. But early on, I want to see them take away the easy throws for McCarthy. Do not let him get in that rhythm. Make him throw down the field. They get one or two. All right, then you can alter your course a little bit. But I don't want to see what Minnesota wants to do. All of the, you know, just again, handing it to Aaron Jones, getting the 3-4 yards per carry, moving the sticks, doing what Carolina did, quite frankly, doing what the Giants did. That's what Minnesota wants in this game. They want to make this a very similar game to the Giants and the Panthers. They got away with the win against the Giants. They didn't against the Panthers. And if they play Minnesota that same way, I worry if they can get out of this game as well. So I think Jeff Hafley has to change things up a little bit early on and try to get off the field and really make it so that the easy stuff isn't there for McCarthy. All right, number five, sort of in the same vein, I need to see Jeff Hafley be a bit more aggressive on first down. This is something I thought he did a really good job of in his first year. Talked about this a little bit earlier this week, but with Hafley, it would be, hey, we're gonna be aggressive on first down. We're going to try to get you in a second and 13. And you know what? If you complete a 12-yard pass on first down or something like that, or get an 8 or 9 yard run, okay, no harm, no foul. You're eventually going to get that first down, or maybe you picked up that first down. Once you get in that first down again, we're going to try to get you in a second and long, third and long situation. Right now, it feels like, yeah, we'll give you the 3-4 yards. Oh, we'll give you another 3-4 yards. and then it's 3rd and 3. Then maybe they only get 2, and then it's 4th and 1, and they convert. I want to see Jeff Hafley be a bit more aggressive on first down, get teams into 2nd and 13s. If you allow a first down along the way, no big deal. If they get a 15-yard play, no big deal. That's okay. I'd rather that on the one play, 15-yarder, and then try again to be aggressive on first down, get them either in 2nd and 10, 2nd and 11, 2nd and 12, etc., or maybe even better. And then now you're dictating terms. If you're in a 2nd and 6, 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, offense is dictating terms in that situation. So I think Jeff Hafley needs to be a lot more aggressive on first down. And then 6, we're staying on the same wavelength here. Get off the field on 3rd and 4th down. This defense has had some 3rd and long opportunities as of late to get off the field, and they haven't done a good enough job. A lot of times it's linebackers not getting depth, playing those short plays, and then they're getting thrown over their head. Linebackers need to be more aware of that in this game. Corners need to be a little bit tight on the outside. It's not easy. TJ Hockenson, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, they've got good weapons on this team. But make JJ McCarthy beat you, get in those 3rd and longs, let Micah Parsons and that defensive line get after the quarterback and JJ McCarthy, and that's going to be a recipe for success. So again, more aggressive on first downs, but then get off the field when you have those 3rd and long and 4th down situations. We'll be right back. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Guys, it's 2025. The days of going to the doctor for emergencies are over. No more waiting until walking it off for 6 months doesn't work or your fingers are numb from texting, "I'm fine." It's time to take our health more seriously and get things checked out when we need to. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc makes it easier than ever by helping to find the right doctor quickly and easily. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are highly rated by verified patients. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and more often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. I've already had family members who have used ZocDoc and loved it, and I'll absolutely be utilizing it on all my appointments from here on out. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/packaday to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/packaday. Again, ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/packaday. 7, offensively, what you want to do is attack their secondary and their linebackers. If I'm Green Bay, the formation that I'm coming out with a lot in this game is 6-0 line, assuming you have Josh Jacobs as the running back, if not, find Emmanuel Wilson, and 3 wide receivers, Watson, Dobbs, and hopefully Golden. If not Golden, then Wicks. Any of those 4 is fine. So 3 wides, 6 offensive linemen, and a running back. I want the extra offensive lineman to go max protect against that Vikings defensive front. If they're going to bring an extra guy or two, so be it. We've got 6 offensive linemen. I got Josh Jacobs. I can run the ball. If you're going to go with your double A-gap looks with everyone lined up on the line, we're going to run right at you with the extra offensive lineman. And ultimately, what I want then is that 6 offensive linemen to help me protect so I can go more of like their pressure is not affecting you. You've got 6 offensive linemen. Heck, play Chris Brooks if you need to. Now you've got the extra protector. I want those receivers the opportunity to win against their secondary. That's where your advantage is. The Minnesota Vikings secondary is not that good, and their linebackers and coverage are not that great. That's where you can win. What you don't want is this cat and mouse game of like, oh, they're bringing everyone. They're not bringing everyone. They're dropping everyone in coverage. They're blitzing seven. And you're just being like, I don't know what's going to happen. Again, it's more of like, who's dictating the terms here? I want Green Bay to say, we're going to max protect. We're going to get our receivers in coverage. If you're going to drop everyone back, all right, we'll note that. Maybe we're going to run it a little bit more out of that six offensive lineman set. You've got good blocking wide receivers, Wicks and Watson especially. You can make that work. You can make that work, but I want to see them attack that secondary, and I want to see them attack those linebackers in coverage. Number eight, going back to the defense, the defensive tackles in this game really need to step up. And I mean really need to step up. I did not think they had a good game against the Giants. They're getting argued like probably their starting center, Will Fries, is going to play. They got their rookie first round draft pick at left guard. Like, it is going to be a little bit of a tough battle in that interior. And I saw Colby Wooden and Devontae White. Again, I didn't think they have good games against the Giants. Minnesota is looking for opportunities to not have to put the ball in JJ McCarthy's hands. So if Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones can get going and are taking advantage of those matchups in the middle, that's again where you get to that Carolina Panthers type game. So I think the defensive tackles for Green Bay really have to step up in a major way. Number nine, let's keep this one simple. Make your damn kicks. Just please make your damn kicks. I don't care if it's an extra point. I don't care if it's a 45-yard field goal. I don't care if it's a 55-yard field goal. It's time to start making some kicks. You're at home. You know the conditions. You know the stadium. You know the grass. You know everything. Make your damn kicks, please, and thank you. Number 10. We've talked a lot about JJ McCarthy's deficiencies. Let's talk about where he can be good late in the game. He somehow has a little bit of that clutch gene that when the game is on the line, it sort of starts to click for him. What you don't want is the ball in Minnesota's hands, in JJ McCarthy's hands, late in the game with an opportunity to go down and win the game or maybe even tie it, whatever. That's where he's been good. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know how you can be brutal for three quarters, three and a half quarters, and then all of a sudden game on the line. It's like, bip, 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 completion, completion, completion. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Maybe that's the JJ McCarthy versus nine, you know, multiple personas sort of thing. I don't know, but that's where he's been good. Last week against the Bears, he drove all the way down, got him a touchdown. And then if it weren't for a big kick return, the Vikings would have won that game. So they've got to figure out a way to make sure that this game is not one that is in the balance at the end. Put it away when you have the chance, when McCarthy is not playing well, and don't let McCarthy get the ball with the opportunity to win at the end, because that's the one area where he's shown he has the ability to go out and make plays and find ways to get a victory. And that's certainly not what you want to see if you're the Green Bay Packers. Number 11, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Use Chris Brooks and use him on third down a lot. Minnesota is going to be bringing pressure. They're going to use pressure, simulated pressure, and you want your running back that can pass protect in this game, that if they do bring a linebacker and they do get right up the middle, he has the ability to stonewall him and give Jordan time that Jordan Love the time that he needs to complete that pass. That's going to be a big one in this game. So even if Josh Jacobs is 100% healthy and good to go, I want Chris Brooks in this game on third down for all the blitzing situations that Brian Flores is going to put you in throughout the course of the game. Number 12, last but not least, if you're the Packers, what you really want to do is make this game Jordan Love versus JJ McCarthy. You're talking about somebody who's playing as a top five, top six, top seven quarterback in the league right now versus arguably the worst quarterback in the league right now. That's what you want to make this game about. You want to make this a up and down the field passing game. And if it is, Green Bay just wins. Jordan is by far and away the better player. Even though they have Jefferson and Addison and things like that, if you can make this so that Jordan gets to throw 30 times and McCarthy has to throw 30 plus times, you're going to win that game. You're going to win that game. So make this game as much as you can, Jordan Love versus JJ McCarthy, and you feel really good about how the end result comes out. The line in this game, well, just really quick, let's recap. Eliminate your mistakes. Make sure JJ McCarthy does not get in any sort of rhythm. He's been really bad. Frustrate Justin Jefferson. Take away the easy stuff, at least early on. Be more aggressive defensively, especially on first down. Get off the field on third and fourth down. Attack their secondary and linebackers in coverage. Defensive tackles for Green Bay need to step up. Make your damn kicks. Don't keep it close late. Use Chris Brooks on third down and make this game about Jordan Love versus JJ McCarthy. The line is Packers by 6. My prediction in this one, Packers 27, Viking 16. Packers get an 11-point win, win by double digits, big home win. They get another win with 27 points. Feel good about this one. I think Green Bay has the ability to put together a really impressive performance. It feels like things just bubbling with Minnesota, ready to break down. Feels like Green Bay, last week we saw just this close to breaking out, maybe getting more of those interceptions and turnovers. Hopefully this is the week that the dam breaks for both teams. Minnesota has that aggressive slide backwards. Green Bay has that aggressive slide where they, I guess not slide, but you know, climb to the upper echelon of what they're capable of playing at. I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but damn it, I'm going to speak it into existence one way or the other. Packers 27, Vikings 16. Other games to watch. Steelers at Bears. Does Aaron Rodgers play? Does he still own Chicago? Giants at Lions. Not much to expect there, but certainly we're cheering for the Giants in that game. Seahawks at Titans, another one. Not much to expect there, but you're cheering for the Titans in that game. Bucks at Rams, Sunday Night Football. That's an epic one. That one should be really, really good. And then Panthers at 49ers on Monday Night Football, all with a lot of NFC North and NFC implications from a playoff standpoint this week. Reminder, the teams you're really cheering against, the teams that you really want to lose, Bears, Lions, Seahawks, and 49ers. As Justice and I talked about, you just, of those four teams plus yourself, you just can't finish fifth. So the Bears, Lions, Seahawks, 49ers, the more losses that they can rack up, the better that's going to be for Green Bay. Currently, for the New York Times, the Packers have a 75% chance to make the playoffs. That goes to 80% with a win, 58% with a loss. So a pretty big difference between win and loss for the Packers in this game. From a division standpoint, they have a 38% chance to win the division, 42% if they win this game, only a 23% chance if they lose this game. It's a big week coming up for Green Bay, massive game against Minnesota, followed up with an even more massive game against the Lions on Thursday Night Football. Get that win against Minnesota, and then hopefully get to Thursday, get some turkey legs, celebrate with a win over the Detroit Lions. Should be fun. We'll have you covered here on the Packaday Podcast. Ross Uglum will be live for the live pregame show on Sunday. I will be live for the post-game show about an hour and a half-ish after the game. We'll do the press conference and then drive home and then be here as soon as I can to do that live post-game show. Appreciate you guys waiting for me on that, but I will get here as soon as I can to do that for you guys. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, and Beast Bumblebee. Enjoy game day, everyone. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.